Blog Talk Radio.
On the market. Actually, it's going to be the theme song to a continual group of books, Rage of the Demons and Dark Side of the Earth, Demons and Angels. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show on Friday. We've got an exciting show for you tonight, just like you heard my theme song, man. I watched a video on that we put together, and I'm telling you, you're going to think you're in a motion picture movie theater while you're playing your Kindle or whatever you download. It's going to be great. We've got two great authors coming on my show tonight, Cheryl L. Williams from Chicago and Gina, and I always have a hard time pronouncing her last name, so I probably won't say it till she gets here. But she's from Chicago. She's a good friend of mine. She has two children's books out that are exciting. These two fascinating female authors will discuss their books and how they see the field of writing and publishing, and they're going to join us while we talk about discussing the creative work that they do and how they see their work reaching the masses and what it will take to create a lasting legacy. Like all the other great artists out there and all the other great authors and people that's been around, I know my favorite is Alexandre Dumas, and he was just the most prolific writer in the world, and that's kind of who I pattern myself after. We have the best show on the internet tonight and always. We're up to 15,111 listeners. We've reached our goal. I know we're going to make our 25,000. Today is the day that my new book is released. It's called I Love Writing a Fun Love Story. It's done. It's headed to the printer, so it's time for everybody on my Facebook to order a copy. You can get it at www.dsmpublications.net, and I'll send you a personal thank you email because it tells me every last name of every last person who orders my book. So when people say, hey, Don, I'm going to get your book, I'm like, well, I didn't see your name in my email. Listen, but we've got some great music artists tonight. Kobe Calais, and I had to learn how to say her name. We've got the Chestnut Brothers, and they're good friends of Amaryllis Santiago. And a little Frank Sinatra. We're going to do a little few poems since it is Arthur night. We are actually going to just tune it up, turn it out, spin it around, and I've got to send a special shout out. I have some new listeners in Cambodia. Can you believe that? They're emailing me, and people are emailing me from the Philippines. So I got a track that I'm going to play by what they call a pop artist over there. His name is Mike Q, and we played his music before on my show, but now definitely I am being listened to in the Philippines. So, you know what? Amazing. So I want you to sit back and relax and enjoy the show. My call-in number is 347-633-9376. If you want to email me like most of you do, you can email me at McClure.Don.S@net. We're going to get this show kicked off for you. We're going to play a track which introduces my book, To Have a Friend, and of course, it's about Joey, and you can get that book on my website, and when we come back, we're going to play a PSA from that, and then we'll be ready to rock and roll, spin and jump, run around the corner, whatever the heck it is you want to do. I know for me, I'm going to enjoy myself tonight. It is Friday, the 13th, and I don't believe in black cats walking under ladders, but I don't believe in none of that junk. Oh, I think my producer just threw an ink pen at me. That must be bad luck. Anyway, let's get the show started. We're going to listen to the track about my book because he was off last week, so that's why he's clowning. But we're going to start the track off with Joey introducing my book, To Have a Friend. And tonight I want you people to go on my website and get my books.
To Have a Friend, one of the best crime thrillers ever written. In this amazing new drama, Joey is the brilliant and fascinating underworld figure every prosecutor, law official, politician, and other rising crime figure love to hate. It's up to him to keep his friend and his friend's family safe and uninvolved in this plan that he knows will destroy everything the loving couple have worked so hard to build.
Ooh, I love when Les does that. And we're going to have some more promotions about my books. So let's get into this PSA, and then when we come back, we are going to rock and roll. So let me find the one that I've got to play. My board is working better this week, so we're going to get the light bulb people out of our way early, and then we'll play some more.
It's our last errand today, Jimmy. Just need to pick up some light bulbs.
Whoa, there's so many. Did Grandma tell you which ones to buy?
No, but check out the label on this package. It'll help us find the right bulbs.
Does it really matter?
Well, sure. The new light bulbs use a lot less energy, so we save money on our electric bill by using an energy-saving incandescent, CFL, or LED.
How about this bulb?
Now, let's see. We need to replace the 60-watt bulbs in our bedside lamps. That one is 800 lumens, so it should do the trick.
I've never heard of lumens.
Lumens tell us how bright the light is. The more lumens, the brighter the bulb.
You know, Grandpa, you're a pretty bright guy.
Yeah, you're pretty smart yourself, Jimmy.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov. That's energysavers.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Energy.
You know, that's such a cute PSA. I like that. You know, Grandpa, but if he calls me that, throw him on the ground. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I know you're going to enjoy Father's Day, and I already put a message out telling people no more socks, no more underwear, no more little slippers, all that little junk. You know what? The mothers always get really nice gifts, jewelry, flowers, dinners, and all we get is some stinking socks. So anyway, happy Father's Day. What the heck? Let's get this show started. We're going to run a track by Frank Sinatra. And man, I'm so glad my producer's back because he has me dying laughing. Frank Sinatra, The Good Life. Then we're going to get into some more tracks with the Chestnut Brothers. But let's right now go to Frank, my man, Baby Blue Eyes.
It's the good life, full of fun. Seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, Don't try to fake romance. It's a good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartache when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
I got a good life, I know that. Hey, do you know when I just said stinking socks, right? There's a movie, and it's an old movie. Anyway, these Mexican guys are fighting with Humphrey Bogart and them. It's called Sierra Madre, the treasure of Sierra Madre. And when they walk up, they tell Humphrey Bogart, and I know it's a long story, so I'll make it quick. They tell Humphrey Bogart that they're the police. And he says, we're the policia. Anyway, the guy says, where's your badges? And he said, badges? We don't have no stinking badges. Anyway, that's a famous quote from a movie, and I know you're too young to know anything about that. But anyway, we're going to get to a track by the Chestnut Brothers. And actually, I got a chance to really listen to this track, and it was really, really nice. The Chestnut Brothers, Al and Ty, are a very talented singing group, songwriters, production team, and they're born in Columbia, South Carolina, but they were raised up in Philadelphia. They have entertained audiences in major U.S. cities and throughout the United Kingdom. I always tell people about the U.K. They're in Europe, the Middle East. Through the years, they have been privileged to perform and record with a vast array of artists, such as Luther Vandross, Grover Washington Jr., Najee, the Oak Ridge Boys, Harry Connick Jr., who kind of sings like Frank Sinatra, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, the Tramps. Ooh, I wonder was them girl tramps or boy tramps. I don't know. Anyway, Billy Paul, Phil Perry. My producer say, Don, you crazy. LL Cool J, Cheap Trick. Okay, I won't touch that. Pete, somebody, Seeger. Just to name a few. This talented twosome has used their God-given singing talent, and they can really sing, songwriting and production gifts to uplift the masses. And since becoming actively involved with the international peace movement, they have attained a passion for social change. That means they want you to stop shooting each other out there. This can be heard in several of their original songs, especially their theme, Stop the Violence. As a result, they've been anointed globally as goodwill ambassadors. I mean, these brothers are just bad. So let's get to one of their tracks so we can get more familiar with the Chestnut Brothers. And like I said, hey, I kind of like them. I'm going to play them a little more on my show.
This song goes out to all the children of the world, from us to you.
I see you smiling like another barrel you want.
CD Baby or Amazon, and just go out and get these people music. That's the one thing I want people to do. Heighten up your level of support. Artists need you to buy their books. They need you to buy their CDs. And don't just have 5,000 friends on Facebook and don't buy their stuff. I mean, makes no sense. Just, I like this, I like that, I like this. Buy something. That's how they make their living. But I like that. That's the Chestnut. Guests should be ready to come into the show, and we're going to rock and, well, they don't even say rock and roll anymore. Hey, you know what? I'm going to make up a new saying. We're going to Uka Buka Buka. Okay, anyway, let me get to my guests, because this is driving me crazy. I'm just enjoying my nerd self. Well, good afternoon. This must be Gina.
Yes, it is. Hi, Don.
Hey, girl, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Girl, I'm drinking hot tea, acting crazy, and I just came up with a new term. Instead of tune it up, we're going to say buka buka.
love it.
Yeah, girl, I'm telling you, my producer's back. He was off last week. His wife kept him at home, but he's back this week. I'm having a ball. Listen, Gina, I want you to hang with us for like 3 minutes. I'm going to play a track by Kelly Rowland, and we're going to have a long conversation with you, and we're going to talk about your two books because I really like what you've written. And plus, this young lady, everybody, is a personal friend of mine. She's got a great husband. She's a great businesswoman. So buy her books. Just hang in with us for like 3 minutes till we get through with Miss Kelly Rowland, and then we'll be ready to have a dialogue with Gina. And I won't say your last name because, man, I just went to Germany and I blew everybody's name over there. But anyway, hang in with us for just 3 minutes. Okay?
Yeah. Know what it is, it's your man Travis, gym class heroes, keep it rolling, oh so beautiful, baby girl, stay up all night, nocturnal, show them how we do, here we go, oh,
it's 5 o'clock a.m., and the party is still going strong. There's a conversation in the corner. Tell a friend, bring everyone.
Come on, let's go.
It's the FM music grooving. Folks getting down, getting down. And that's how you
get down, yeah.
Sleepy eyes peeping.
They're watching me
from the window across the street. And it looks like
forward to talking with you, and here we are, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Now, listen, I know you've got two books out, right? One called Dean and one called Don't Be So Mean, Gene. And I like those titles. Now, these are children's books, right?
Yes, they are picture rhyming children books.
Okay, rhyming. Oh, yeah. Well, I like the rhyme. I know that. Now, is this a new venture for you? You thought about being a writer for a while, or how did you actually get into this?
Well, you know, as a child, I always remember begging my mother to take me to the library to get children's stories, children books. And at that time, the books came with they came with records. And what I used to do is just, I was so excited when I got these books. I used to put on the record, and I used to read along with these picture storybooks, and I was fascinated by it. And when I got older, I started writing all types of things. I wrote poems, you know, poetry and children's stories, and I kept them tucked away thinking one day I will publish them. So that day has finally come, and I've published a couple and working on publishing others as well.
Well, that's a good thing. Now, I remember when we met, you have your own employment agency and everything else, and like I said, I was impressed. You were a very impressive young woman then. And so you're telling me that you went back to the days that you used to listen to recordings, like phonograph records, and then worked your way up to writing these new books. I noticed one is called, tell me a little bit about this, Don't Be So Mean, Gene.
Well, Don't Be So Mean, Gene is in the process of publication. I'm just tying up loose ends with my illustrator, so it should be available by next Friday, the 20th. But Don't Be So Mean, Gene is basically about a 7-year-old girl who didn't get her way. She really wanted to go outside on that particular day, and, you know, before she went outside, her mother asked her to do some chores, and just when she thought that the chore was complete, she was ready to run outside. And the final outcome was the mother changed her plans, and Jean was not able to go outside because instead her mother wanted her to play with her sister, who wasn't feeling well. She was upstairs. So after that, you know, she just had a bad attitude. And because she didn't get her way, her attitude made her treat her sister in a very mean way. So at the end, she learned a very valuable lesson. So it's a fun, cute picture storybook.
Yeah, you know, I like that because one thing that we're missing, like we've all grown up with, like Dr. Seuss, and I always talk about Willy Wonka and everybody else, and the kind of story you just wrote is really good because I've been in some Walmarts, and I've seen some 7-year-olds that I would strangle to death if they acted up the way that they do, but unfortunately, I'm not their dad, but if it was, well, I actually can't say that either because I was a bad-looking kid, but I like the moral of this story, and how did you create that? I mean, what made you think of that?
That's a really good question, you know. I don't know. I guess I just reflected on my own childhood days. I grew up with four other sisters, and, you know, we weren't always very kind to one another, although right now as adults we're all very close. But just reflecting on some, you know, past experiences as children, you know, your attitude is very important. When you don't understand something that your parents decide for you, you know, you just become angry, and you take it out on other people. So it's just a good lesson learned that you really have to be calm when you do experience that anger. So basically just growing up, you know, growing up life story.
And, you know, and like I said, I like that because I know when I was growing up, I broke up all my brother's toys. I used to just break them up just for the sake of it. And my mother would say, "Don't, you know, that's Don." And he'd be so angry. So she probably need to write a book on, "I Need to Beat Don Reary." But you know what? But okay, so what about this other book that you have, Dean?
So Dean the Singing Machine is a story actually that I heard about my sister who lives in New York, her and her husband. It's about my nephew, her son. And he really loves a karaoke machine that he was given for a gift. And he asks to play all the time, and he calls it Roki because he's 2.5, so he can't say the full word karaoke. So he calls it Roki Machine, and he loves to sing. So I thought it was such a cute story. I wanted to write it in picture rhyming so that kids can find, I don't know, comfort or inspiration in it. So if they enjoy singing, and even parents learn when they read children picture storybooks, sometimes they get a revelation, and maybe it will help them direct their child if they have a special talent or, you know, a special gift. In this case, it's this young 3-year-old boy who who has a gift and a knack for singing. So that's what Gene the Singing Machine is about. And it's both in English and in Spanish.
Well, you know, I like the way that you take your stories and create them kind of from personal experiences and then go into explaining things. But and I think your experiences that you're writing about is kind of like a worldwide situation where a lot of parents could either read the books to their kids, and they'll probably learn something from this. I really like that. Now, so you plan on being an author for the rest of your life, for the next 2-3 years, or you want to become like Dr. Seuss, or what is it that you want to do with this?
Well, Don, I love to write, and as I mentioned a little while ago, I mean, I have stories that I've written throughout the years that I haven't published. So now that actually you helped, Don, in directing me on how to self-publish, and I really appreciate that, because if it weren't for you, you know, and your direction and the time that you spent talking to me about it, I probably would have waited longer to publish. But thank you so much for that that boost and that confidence in that direction. So I will be publishing for a while. I do see that because the time has finally come, and I have other stories to write for children.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and that's the thing that I like about certain authors, the ones that I really admire, because their stories actually are stories that we can really use. I always say that we've got to continue educating early instead of waiting for high school and college, and we've got to catch them at those early years and teach them how to develop these stories. I think there's a lot of people that want to know how you did it, what made you go about this type of thing, and I know I'm going to get a series of your books because I work with a lot of people who work with children, and I'm always telling them, hey, the more we put into them, the better they come out. And that, to me, is just something that we really do have to spend more time on. And when they have examples to follow, like you say, your nephews and the Don't Be So Mean Gene, I see them all the time out there, and I really like that approach. One of the things that I wanted to ask you, though, you're working with some illustrators out of India?
Yes, I actually am working with one illustrator out of India who I think she's just the greatest. And I found a gold nugget out in India. I met her online. I did some searching, and I actually interviewed some illustrators. But, yes, I am working with someone who is in Calcutta, India, and we talk by Facebook chat. So, you know, her time frame, of course, is different from Chicago, but we are able to communicate and get these projects completed.
Well, you know what I like about that is because I work with some people in Kenya, Africa, when I was doing children's stories a lot, and those countries are clamoring for children's stories because they really want their children. Their children spend more time reading than actually the American children do. A book to them is like phenomenal, and when they have great stories, they really get involved in these types of things. So that was an amazing contact for you because India is always into children's books. They have a huge market over there, and they buy a lot of my books actually from Amazon, so I do like that. Now, where can everybody get your books at? That's the most important thing.
Well, I do have a website. It's GinaZivlichBooks.com, and they can purchase. There's a link for PayPal, and it says click to buy or buy now. And you can get Dean the Singing Machine in English or Spanish, or you can do a search and go ahead and grab a book via Amazon. And again, I wanted to mention Don't Be So Mean Gene will be available and ready to purchase by next Friday the 20th.
Okay, because I know my sister is Spanish, Latino, and I'm going to send her one of your books in Spanish, as well as I'll probably get one in English. And send it to her. Her name is Amarilla Santiago. And yes, everybody in my audience, she's my real sister. They're like, you and her don't look alike. But she's a great singer. I mean, and you really have to listen to her music. Matter of fact, I'm going to play one of her tracks tonight on my show. But she's a phenomenal singer, comes from a phenomenal family. Her mother's a hoot. I love her mom and her daughter. They're just a well-rounded family. And that's going to be one of my gifts to them because I just think a lot of them. But I really like what you're doing, and I think that we need to have you out there more. So now, website is Z-I-V-A-L-I-C-H.
Yes, and Gina is a very uncommon spelling. It's J-E-A-N-N-A.
okay, because I'm always putting an E at the end. I got to start putting an A on there. Yeah, but that's – so now what does your husband think of all this stuff?
You know, my husband is very supportive, very supportive. I mean, he knows that I have written all of these unpublished stories, and finally to reach, you know, my goal and to publish, he just loves it. He thinks it's great, and I mentioned that I'd be on your show, and unfortunately he's working, so hopefully he's listening in, but he's very supportive, and I'm very blessed to have a supportive husband.
Yeah, he seems, well, he's got a great wife, and then I guess you and him as a team, because you and him actually own the company that you have, which is the employment service, right?
Yes, it's Efficiency Placement, and it's an independent agency, really, and what I do is virtual. I work with companies to find candidates to fill their open positions, and it's been open now for, we've been in business since 2013 actively. So that's also something that I do as well as write. So.
Yeah, I like that. Now, are you planning on going to the children's hospitals with your book, or how do you plan on marketing this?
You know, I went to the Chicago Public Library and, you know, gave the manager a copy of Dean the Singing Machine, and he sent it over to the buyer of books for the Chicago Public Library, so I'm waiting to hear back. Yes, I would love to be able to get them into children's hospitals and, you know, get them into the hands of children everywhere. So, yeah, I'm doing a little fundraising for that on my Facebook page, and, you know, anyone who's interested can go to my Facebook page. But I would love to be able to donate books to those that are not able to afford, you know, to purchase books. So that is another one of my goals. And I'm just using other avenues, of course, to market the book. Still kind of learning as I go along. So I have a couple of avenues that I'm working with.
Yeah, well, like I said, I want you to join the State of Illinois' website. That's where they list all the Chicago and Illinois writers, and it's called Center for the Book, and they'll get your books on there, your ISBN numbers, and they'll have you listed where other people can get it. And a lot of the film producers use that website to go to look for ideas. So that's something that I want you to do. To get on the, and it's free. It doesn't cost anything. One thing that I'm against is a lot of people constantly charging artists that are new or been in the business, kind of like always trying to gouge them or say, hey, you need to pay this, pay that. But you can join, and it's a good group. Now, you'll still have to do some marketing, and we'll see if we can get your website really out there and promote it, because you're doing a great thing. I mean, I really like Don't Be Mean. I just like that name, Don't Be So Mean, Don. I mean, Gene. I know my brother say I like that one. Yeah, you were real mean when you was a kid. But I really like that. Now, how did you come up with the title for that?
You know, oh gosh, I have my sisters asking me, and everyone that knows me real well, they're wondering, well, where did you come up with this? You know, a creative mind comes up with all types of things. I didn't think of anything in particular to have me write that title, to be honest, but you know, my name is Gina, so I used Jean because it rhymed with Don't Be So Mean, Jean, so I thought it was a cute little rhyming title. So that's really the reason why I chose it.
Well, I like that. I mean, and now, are you planning on doing audiobooks also, or?
You know, I can see that in the future. I really can. I'd like to do that, and I also would like to customize books, so that's something else that I'm looking into as well. So there's
Go ahead. Yeah, because I'm working on a couple of DVDs. My audio books are going to be a little bit different. We're dropping in soundtracks, voices. So it's going to be really kind of like a mini movie. And I just dropped one of them on Facebook just to get a tester out. But the theme song is what I'm playing now on my show. But that's the market that I want to go into deeper. I want my books to be kind of like mini movies. So that may be something with this Gene, the Singing Machine, and Dean, and just all your books. You may want to try to do some more of the actual books that have the rhyming on there with some music up under it.
No, I would love to do that. I'll look into that.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of leads, and we can talk about some things, because it's not that expensive to do it. And so that's the thing, like I said, I try to keep people away from spending an arm and a leg. That, to me, is where the artist should be trying to make money and not always spending out a lot of money. That's really important to me.
Yes.
Well, I like that. I like that a lot. So give me that website one more time now.
So it's Gina. I'll spell it. Gina is J-E-A-N-N-A, Zivilich, Z as in zebra, I, V as in Victor, A-L-I-C-H, books.com.
Okay. Now, I'm going to post this also on my website, and I'm going to post it on my Facebook. So it's GinaZivilichBooks.com.
Yes.
And I got that, and I want to make sure that I do that. I've got another author on the phone, and I want you to stick with us for a minute. We're going to kind of have a little group conversation. So let me get to this other person on the line, and then I want you to stick with us, and then I got to do a PSA. But hang with us for a minute because I just want to ask you a couple more questions.
Great.
Good afternoon, caller. This is Don S. McClure. How are you?
Hi, John. I am on the radio now?
Yes, you're on the radio right now.
Good, good. Well, I am Gina Zivilich's sister.
Get out of here.
Diana. Yeah. No, no.
So were you the little mean Jean girl or what?
No,
I think it was you.
No. There's three other of us. There's three more, so, you know, you might have to ask the one that's closest to her, But listen, I just want to say, honestly, kudos to you for supporting authors and artists, and kudos to my sister who, you know, for many, many years has wanted to write and publish, and she's written stories. She's also, I just wanted to say, she's a songwriter, too. She's a singer. She's, you know,
get out of
music. Yeah, she's not telling you all of it, so I felt inclined to make the phone call and to make sure that you guys, you know, that you know really how talented she really is and wonderful. And, you know, she's juggling a lot. She's got her, you know, staffing business or recruiting business, and she's, you know, writing books and getting them published. So, you know, she's also, you know, she's decided to go the Spanish route because she's a Latina, we're Puerto Rican, and we're a minority.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we have a Spanish-speaking mother, and so, you know, we're definitely, so I'm really proud of her and really giving you kudos because, you know, we need a lot more support out there, especially, you know, people like us or Gina, who's, you know, a special talented author and really an example to a lot of young people and to people that are, I would say, you know, even, you know, we grew up Hispanic and in a unique neighborhood and had some struggles and, you know, she's come a long way and I'm excited for her and her new venture, so I just wanted to say that out loud.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because had I known that also, I lived in Memphis like 19 years, and they have a huge Hispanic community that I work with there. And these are the things that she's so shy, because I'm really impressed with her. I was always impressed. Her and I talked for hours one day when I first met her about my book, and she went ahead and bought the books, and I just think the world of her. So, but she never told me all this stuff.
No, you know, that's why I called in. I'm like, she's not giving the whole story, so I need to make sure that everybody knows. So, but you know, yeah. So you know, you overcome some obstacles, and they're there. But she's a believer and a doer, and she's a great example. So, and I know you've got another author that you're going to talk to. So, congratulations to her as well. And so, anyway, thanks for having her and for promoting her.
Yeah, that's my girl. Like I said, I'm going to try to do as much, and I always tell her, quit worrying. It's all going to be okay. She'll call me. Well, Don, I'm like, look, cool out. You're fine. You're doing a great job. And I'm going to really try to promote what she's doing, because I think
absolutely
a lot of her,
wonderful.
She's a great person.
She surely is. So, yes, we're all blessed to know her, and I'm proud to have her as my little sister. So,
you were Jean. I'm not going to let that go.
No. I'll tell you the story when I meet you sometime.
Yeah.
There's a little more to that, but, yeah, she's great. I can't wait for her next book.
All right. Well, thanks for calling me.
Yes, thank you. Have a good night.
Bye-bye. Well, I guess you just got a word of endorsement from your sister. So you and I are going to have to talk more, because I tell you, I did not know all this stuff.
I can't believe she did that.
I can, and she should have did it. I'm glad she did.
Oh,
I am
goodness.
Really glad she did, and I'm real proud of you. Listen, I'm going to have to let you go, and we're going to sit down. We're going to have lunch one day soon so that we can talk over some more things that you're doing. But I didn't know that about you. So
that's a great thing. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show. It was great. Thank you, Don.
Yeah, and I will talk with you soon, though, because you know I'm going to call you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and thanks for being on my show.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. And that was Gina Zivilich, and I just learned some new things about her. So that's a great thing. And that's what I'm talking about, artists. We need to support them. Because a lot of times we think, well, they got a book out, but if they don't sell the books and things like that, then it makes it hard for them. Well, that was it for that part of my show. I've got a PSA coming on, and then in 5 more minutes, my next author is going to come on, Ms. Cheryl L. Williams, and she's got books about parenting skills and probably some bad kids out there that some of you got. But anyway, let me get to this PSA, and when I come back, we're going to talk a little bit more. And I'm telling you, I'm going to play some more stuff by those Chestnut Brothers. I kind of like them, man. I'm going to ask them, can I sing with them?
We try to hide our truths about our mental and substance use disorders from the world, and sometimes from ourselves. Saying I'm fine is a facade. By facing our problems, recovery begins. And we are empowered to speak our truth. Join the voices for recovery. Speak up. Reach out.
For confidential information on mental and substance use disorders, including prevention and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Operación de corazón abierto para salvar mi vida. Tenía 33 años cuando me enteré que tenía una enfermedad del corazón. Y estaba bien sorprendida porque yo era una persona bien saludable. Lo primero lo que me decían de mis hijos que yo no iba a estar aquí para mirarlos crecer. Oigan su propio cuerpo. Estoy participando en Cover por tu corazón para informarle a todas las mujeres que tengan conciencias de su propio corazón.
And I'm telling you, I'm going to take me a Spanish class. I don't care what I got to do. Excuse me. I'm going to learn me some Spanish so I can say ubla and all the other stuff that they say. I think I've got my other author on the phone, Ms. Cheryl L. Williams, my bud. What's going on, Ms. Cheryl?
How are you today, Don?
Girl, I've been drinking too much tea and having fun in the studio, throwing paper airplanes back and forth. It's been a ball. I am enjoying myself. I'm saying, man, you're kind of crazy. But I'm having a good time. It's Friday, so I'm glad to have
you
on my show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was impressed when we first met. And, you know, I tell people I get to meet some of the best people in the world. So when they be out there complaining about, oh, the world is bad and everybody's trying, I say, I don't know none of them. I don't run into them. All I run into is really good people. Because actually, I'm going to tell them the story. You came out to one of my book signings in a storm. It was ice everywhere. And you still came out and supported. And
yes, I
your
did.
Husband was
yes,
right
I did.
There with you. Yeah, and I was really impressed with that because we get a lot of people online and in life always talking about, I'm gonna, and I should, oh, I would try to make it, but you're one of those people who actually walk the walk and talk the talk, and I tell people all the time, support these authors. You've written some books on parenting. Now, I'm trying to remember every book you got three. One is called The Pamper Prince.
Yes.
Then the other
the middle one is The Pamper Prince, Moms Create a Great Relationship with Your Son. The first one is Trying to Stay Sane While Raising Your Teen. We all know about that. And then the most recent book is Raising Your Daughter Through the Joys, Tears, and Hormones.
Okay. So now, I'm a guy, so you know we don't know nothing about no hormones. So you got to tell me about those.
Guys have hormones. They're just not as prevalent as ours. But
get out of here. We don't have hormones. At least I don't think I got none.
You could be right. However, here's the thing with each of the books has a different story. And you and I talked probably about 4 years ago when the first book came out. I was working with, I had gone through a divorce, and we had moved my very suburban children from the suburbs to the city of Chicago, which is where my base was. You know, I always say you need to have your village with you. And it was just chaotic and crazy, and they hated me and everything. And at the time, I had never thought of being an author. However, I started jotting down some of the things that were going on, and I was really interested in us staying together and staying close-knit as a family. And so, you know, I just started jotting down some of the things that I did with our kids and invited their friends over. I wanted to know who everybody was. So that's kind of how I got started with the first book.
Okay.
The second book, I was teaching once I got to Chicago and, you know, changed jobs a little bit, because I also think that as parents, you know, sometimes the things that we're doing, if they're taking us away from our families, we might have to rethink that idea. So I started teaching high school, and I was teaching boys, and it was amazing, you know, just the way that you interact with boys, a lot different than girls, you know, in a nutshell. And, you know, I could never seem to leave school before 5, even though I got out of school at 2:30 because I had a classroom of boys who didn't want to go home. Why don't you want to go home? And so, you know, if you listen, they will talk. And they did. So I wrote a little bit for mothers because there are a lot of single mothers out. There are a lot of married mothers out who have major responsibility for raising the kids because their dads are really busy, you know. And I just, you know, there's just a way that you can approach your son that's slightly different than the way you approach your teenage daughter or your tween-age daughter. And so I wrote about that in the second book.
Okay.
Then I started teaching at a local community college, and I was teaching primarily women and adult women. Some were fresh out of high school. Some were a little older. And some of the, just the issues that I think we are facing in this society as women, I got a chance to see up close and personal. So, another book. And I couldn't understand
All right.
at the time some of the issues that I was noticing. And I've never, you know, I hadn't seen girls fighting since I was in grammar school. And yet I got a chance to see that, you know. And mothers talking to their daughters really any old kind of way. And I just thought, oh, my gosh. You know, we're losing a whole generation who will be responsible for raising another generation. I got to talk about it. So that's what raising your daughter is all about.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you said that, especially about the boys. I had a program where I talked to 12 young men from 12 different high schools, 12 different backgrounds, and it was all in New Jersey. And they mm-hmm. came on the show, and it was non-censored. And they got a chance to explain of how they actually viewed teachers dealing with boys. They felt that the teachers gave more attention to the girls. The girls would want to fight them sometimes, and, of course, they couldn't fight them back because they were boys.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such a show that I really wish, you know, and I'm going to have you back on so you can hear what they're saying, and then we could talk more about boys in school and their view on what they think teachers are doing that's not helping them. One of them said that the teachers, when a girl would raise her hand, he'd spend forever answering her questions, get it right. When he would raise his hand, it'd be like, well, that's so-and-so, so-and-so, and then drop it. This alienation, and a lot of the educational system said, yeah, I didn't know that, Don. I said, yeah, you're not talking to them directly.
Right. And you know what? And that's a travesty because think about it. You're talking about the next wave of people who are going to run the earth, the planet. You know what I mean? Like when they grow up and they're growing up now. So what do you want to leave them with? What do you want to gift them with? What kind of tools do you want to offer them? You know, they need to be able to speak up. And I listened to a young lady today. This is really related. I didn't understand it at first. I wanted to just turn around and tell her, would you shut up talking like that? But every other word that she said, we were on a bus. She was, you know, talking to whoever she was talking to. Every other word was a curse word.
Mm-hmm.
But once I got past the words which had offended me, I got a chance to listen to the conversation. I always ear hustle. I can't help it. And one of the things that she was really frustrated, and I heard it, and I think a lot of times, you know, expression, what do we say, self-expression, okay? She was expressing herself. I didn't like how she did it, but once she got past all that anger and got a chance to get it out, I'd say most of the time guys as well as young ladies are trying to get to be express who they are, and nobody really wants to hear it. They want you to say it in the way that it's appropriate. And I'm here to say, okay, so I can talk on both sides. I can talk as a parent, but I've spoken enough to young people and teenagers that I can talk on their behalf. And so that's really what my role is right now.
Well, that's why I say I think these are important, just like I was talking to Gina about her books. That's that early stage, and if we catch them early, we can guide that. Then the second stage is kind of what you're talking about also, because if the parents don't have skills, and this is one thing that I'm really against. I'm tired of people saying it starts at home, because it doesn't start at home. If she doesn't know what the GAO office is that runs the government, if she doesn't know the OAU documents, or she studied the 100 schools of thought in Asia, you can't expect her to hand that down to her daughter, because that's not her exposure. So she's
right.
giving them what they know. Now, it's up to us to say, like my play niece, I just bought her some flowers to make sure that on her graduation, that as she gets older, flowers would be nice to be received from a guy, but it won't be so new to her. And that's some
right.
of the things that we got to think about. You know, they're graduating. We got to say, listen, if you prepare them early, but if you don't listen to them, and like you say, let them talk, like they say, tune up or turn up or turn it around,
mm-hmm.
well, you have to kind of
mm-hmm.
listen to that and stop correcting them. But we need more people like you out there that's saying, okay, what is it that you have to say? Because Career Day is a sham. I mean, you're standing there talking
oh,
to
yeah.
some young guys. You're telling them about your job and what you do, but you never say, here's the internship program that I'm going to get you
yeah.
in so that
mm-hmm.
I can show you better than I can tell you. But, you know, walking in with a nice suit on and saying all these great things, and then you're going to leave, and it's like, well, how do I get to this $100,000 job or $90,000? I got to go to this. I got to go to that. I got to do this. And we don't open those doors. So I think that that's important. But the thing I want to talk about is your book, your first book. Let's go back to that for a minute, because my show is going to be 2 hours tonight. I've extended it because of you and Gina, so I'm going to have a little bit more time. But tell me about how you actually developed your first book.
What I did was, are you talking about from a technical standpoint or from a content? Which one are you interested in?
I'm talking about the content.
Okay, so as I again, remember, I'm telling you, not an author by trade, didn't study, you know, anything like journalism in school. However, I was living a life where I got a chance to, you know, I always say that, you know, I want to be authentic. If I tell you to do something, you're my child, I'm going to walk that walk with you. That's exactly, I mean, I'm not going to say something to you and then do something entirely different. And let me give you an example. So I was a single parent at that time. So I strongly believe, and hopefully I won't offend any of your listeners, but you got to, especially as a woman raising kids, you have to have a certain sense of pride and self-esteem yourself. So that means that if I am expecting my daughter to wait till she's married to have sex, what am I doing? Hello?
Okay.
So, right? Okay, just an example. I'm just giving an example. And
okay.
if she is on punishment because of whatever, why do I think I can go and hang out in the street on that weekend that she's on punishment? Right? So if she's on
okay.
punishment, I'm on punishment. And so as I started having these kind of aha moments, I wrote them down. And I was writing them on everything because they were coming. Once I started, they just like flew out of me. I'd be in a restaurant, I'd be writing on the napkins. I'd be someplace and I'd write on. So my mom finally said, put them in a folder. Don't worry about organizing them yet. Just put them in a folder so you don't lose them. And I started putting them together. And I was teaching at the high school, so I was really busy. So every summer I'd look at it and I would say, oh, I got my book is ready. Or she'd say, how's your book? And then I would look at it and it was nowhere near ready. So it took me a while because it wasn't something that I was, you know, I got a deadline. I didn't know about deadlines. I just was writing something that eventually I wanted to share. But it really, at the point, I knew that I needed other people around me. Like, I didn't mind if the neighbor told me that they saw my daughter someplace, because that's what I think people need nowadays. Why would you not want somebody to tell you if they see your kid somewhere? Why would you curse them out or stop speaking to them? You know what I mean?
Well, probably because, again, in their environment, they actually believe that they're doing right because that's their exposure. Now, I'm not going to justify it, but what I'm also saying to you is I grew up in a two-parent household.
Mm-hmm.
So I never knew we were considered, I guess, poor, middle class or whatever, because we ate every day and went to school and did everything till these all these studies came out that said if you live on 19th and Hamlin, you're in a poor community. I'm like, okay, well, all I know is we went to school. But I really believe that if you take them early, my mother used to take us to the airport just to watch the planes take off. My father bought me art when I was 11 years old. So by the time I got to an earlier age, I'd already had copies of Michelangelo. Plus our school system, for me, was a little bit different because we had to say the preamble before we could graduate orally.
Right. So I remember
you
that.
You had to know that. Right. You had to know
and
it.
And you had art classes too, didn't you?
Yep.
We had art classes still.
We had all the things that
music.
Made us... You had to have that, and you couldn't get out of school. And actually, a lot of that stuff was in my junior high school. We were reading Homer and the Odyssey at seventh grade. So when people were talking about it later, I was like, man, I read that I don't know how long ago. But I really believe that if we expose them to a person like you and say, listen, I'm not telling you exactly how to do it, but I want to show you a path that I took. I think that's where we're missing them because we keep talking to them like as if they're just supposed to pick up. And I understand they wear their pants down. I understand all that stuff. But if you don't tell them, how do you make $100,000 realistically? How do you work your way up, not just go to school, get an education, and they're going like, okay, I heard that. And I still see everybody else out here broke. Because everybody wants a nice house, nice car, nice place to live. I don't care if they're gangbangers or whatever. So I think approaching it is really a good thing. And you took your own experiences and said, okay, if my daughter's on punishment, I don't want her to get on punishment because I'm on punishment. And I had never heard that before. That's a good analogy.
I tried to make what I said. It wasn't a long book. I wanted something easy to read, so I called it a primer. And, you know, as parents, we're busy. You know, we've got things to do. We're doing all kinds of – so I wanted something that you could pick up and it's right there. That was my idea. And then I wasn't sure about anybody else's faith, but I knew I couldn't have made it without God's help. So I had to put a little bit of that in there as well. And that was the first book.
Okay. And then you started on your second book how many months later or years later?
Funny story. So first book is out. I'm all excited and everything. And my daughter says to me, so when are you writing the second book? And I looked at her like, what? What are you talking about? Out of the mouth of babes, right? And so I started writing. I wrote it in the summer. I wrote it the next. So the first book was out in 2010. The second book came out. It was written the following summer. It took a while I got it, you know, reviewed and everything. So I think it came out in 2012. And I started writing the next summer the Raising Your Daughter book. And I'm writing a fourth one now, so I'm blended families. So.
Okay, now this book, Raising Your Daughter, this is totally different from the other two books, right, of course, because one's about boys. All right, now Raising Your Daughter, I remember when I really told my daughter, I said, well, as long as you don't tell me a story, you know, I'm fine with that. You know, just don't tell me, and I'll see if I can figure it out. And I took her to a clinic to get her checked out and all this stuff because I looked at her and said, are you having sex? And she didn't answer me, so I said, okay, I don't want to touch that, but I'm going to take you to some professionals and let them talk to you because I'm a guy, and I don't know what y'all ask. But anyway, I think that your book on raising a girl, now, how did you approach that?
Well, what my premise was, that I really believe that women, you know, as much as we say, women are the heart of the house. They're the heart of the home. And so if I expect you to raise a generation, how are you going to do that if you don't know anything about nurturing? You know what I mean? Like if you're walking down the street with your cell phone, and you're either texting or whatever, Facebook, whatever, and your little 2-year-old is walking behind you, and the only time you say anything to that little child is when you say, hey, so-and-so, so-and-so, and you know those words are not repeatable online
right.
and on the call. But that's all you say to him or her. What? Okay, what? And I tell you, on my way to the college, I would, you know, sometimes I take the public transportation. And it was amazing to me that a mother could have two children with her. The son may be sitting on her lap. The daughter would be standing up somewhere. And it wasn't just one example. I saw it time and time again. And the care and the love that she poured into that son was not the same that she gave the daughter. Now,
Okay. Don't
get me wrong. I'm not saying that I didn't see any love between women, you know, girls and mothers. I did, and I offered that to my own daughter. But I'm telling you time and time again, that's what I saw. So I wrote about it because I would like, if you never were taught, you know, I understand people have hard times and everything like that, and typically, you know, women, if we're working, and some of us are going to school and working and raising kids, and maybe single, then you're trying to get stuff done. So you don't have time. My mom used to say, you know, I don't have time for niceties. But that's not true. You have to be taught that, just like anything else. So you can be taught to say I love you, to give hugs, you know, especially in this climate when you don't even know if your kids are coming back home safely again. Am I right?
Well, that's true. That's true. And that's the difference in my mom believed that when you woke up in the morning, you had to say good morning. She didn't care what it was, what kind of night you had, whether or not. But if you were in her house, you had to say good morning. And I was talking to some other people who said they appreciated the fact that Sunday was their dinner day. They cut their phones off. It was just like, look, we're not having this. Now, I've seen other people, their children come in from school, and they're on Facebook. After they do their homework, they're back on Facebook. And they're not texting anything. They're just saying, hey, girl, what's going on, da, 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 da. So I'm telling them, if you don't stop that, that's a pattern. And here you are on your cell phone all night long, and they're on Facebook all night long, and then you're saying, well, I raised them. I'm going like, no, Facebook raised them.
No, you didn't. Exactly.
So,
and
you have to take that time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's really important, and this is what I'm hoping that came across in the book, is that so if you didn't have the training, then here's some things you can do. Just like your mom saying, you will say good morning when you get up. I mean, you know, our grandparents, our parents, you know, at least my generation, you know, there were certain things that you said and did. If you didn't like something, you certainly didn't get the opportunity to just blab it out and say, you know, I don't like that. It was unacceptable. You know, there were some courtesies that you extended. So all I'm saying in this book is let's be courteous with each other. Let's love and nurture our girls so that they will love and nurture the generation that comes through them so that we can get rid of some of the anger that's out here. Because I'm telling you, that young lady today was angry. You hear me? She was furious. And when I listened, clearly it was a big deal to her. But in the scheme of things, you know, it wasn't like two countries colliding. Do you know what I mean? It was workable. But that's how she knows to react. And so
well, you know, and I also think that we have a habit as a society of not giving single women food and still do what they got to do. Now, I'm not saying they don't want a guy in their life, but if they don't have him, for them to take on that responsibility and for us to just kind of downplay it like, well, that's a single mom. I think we have to get past that because she's still a parent, and I think we need to remove the single mom theory because you're saying, well, because that child grew up in a single home, and that's not true. Because they grew up in a home without a lot of love, it may happen. But if she's a single mom and really involved in her children, I've seen many of them go off to school. I've seen them graduate. I've seen them become icons in business. So I think we need to rethink what we're saying to people when we say single parenting. And I don't believe that we should be calling people seniors, you know, but that's my theory. I think that what we're doing is aging people, and we don't have a right to say that because we don't know how they feel. We don't. Everybody that's 60 is not taking Geritol. So, you know, I think we need to rethink these things when we write this stuff. Are you considering that maybe your voice can be different from the voices that's out there now?
So, let me explain what I mean when I say single. Single is not a badge of distinction, but single means that generally is what single means to me. You are the key. You're the key responsible one for your children, and that's a lot of responsibility. Now, like you said, there's some women who are doing it fabulously, but it is a job and a half. Not to mention everything else that you have to do. So what happens is, and a lot of times in this economic climate, you may have to do two jobs if you are on your own doing that. You know what I mean? So you are really busy. And that's all I'm saying. If you're really busy and you're trying to raise kids, then sometimes things slip past you. And you may not notice that your child, your son, has gotten really quiet and goes in his room and closes his door. It may not be until 3 months that you really notice something's not right. And all I say to parents is, if you feel that something isn't right, it isn't. Don't question it, just deal with it, you know, because your instincts are never wrong. And if you think your daughter's having sex, just like you did, take her to get some birth control. Get her
attached.
You know what I mean? Because
I said, oh, no. Plus, I knew who I was when I was her age. I said, okay, I need to get this checked.
Right away. I mean, don't delay. There's some things you don't get a chance to think about them forever. And I can remember saying to my daughter, I wanted to have a little pact with her. I said, okay, now here's what I want you to do. When you feel like you're ready to have sex, I want you to come and see me first. Talk to me about it. We had already had the conversation. And she said, Mom, I am not going to come and see you and talk to you first, because, see, of course, I would try to talk her out of it. But, you know, at least I'm having the dialogue. You know, you got to have the dialogue. You got to have those tough conversations. You know what I mean?
Are these things in your book, all these theories?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
Okay.
They are. They really are. They are.
I like
because,
that.
I just have that conversation so that, you know, at least that's not to say that they're not going to do their own thing, because they are. You know, they got to find their own way. All you are is a guide at this point. Hopefully you've been enough in their life. You've said enough things. You have walked the walk with them. They can count on you and trust you, that they may think about it before they walk into something that you don't want them to walk into. There are no guarantees. So I just say, talk often. Try not to be an invisible parent. So when you're having dinner, maybe you only get to have dinner two or three times a week. Maybe you're sharing custody. Make those times count. Talk. I don't know what to talk about. Talk about anything. This is my premise, and this is what I said in the Pamper Prince. Okay, so mothers like to talk. Women love to talk. Boys don't necessarily love to talk. So you got an issue there. Not really. So what you do is you know what they like. Okay, maybe one son likes basketball. Maybe one son likes something like chess or cooking or something. That's okay. Talk about those things. I don't give eye contact with my son most of the time. Sometimes I do. But when I really want him to talk to me, we go and get ice cream. Now, nowadays, ice cream gives me indigestion. It just does. But that's okay. That's okay, because it's going to be one night of indigestion, and he's going to talk his ears off because he loves ice cream. I'm going to look down at my cup of ice cream, and I'm going to eat it and ask whatever I want, because it's non-confrontational, and he's going to talk.
Well, you know what?
You understand?
You're the first person, not the first, but you're following a kind of a guideline. I keep telling people, I don't want anybody.
Don, are you there? I'm not hearing you. You broke up. Where'd you go?
I'm right here. Sometimes my mic gets kind of crazy. Can you hear me? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying to you is that I keep telling people, everybody doesn't want you staring them in their eyeballs. That makes boys uncomfortable. So, you know, people up under this theory about, well, I got to see you. No, I don't want you looking dead in my face. Now, I'm going to talk to you. And I may turn a little bit, but I think we're approaching this thing from a adversarial point of view, like an authoritative type thing, and you're making the guys uncomfortable.
Yes. I'm telling you, the 8 years that I taught high school boys was one of the most informative. I felt like I had gone to school for a degree. I honestly did. And I learned how to communicate in a number of different ways, but that was the most important one. So when I really wanted to hear everything I needed to hear, I was grading papers. Now, girls, you can't do that with. Mom, you're not paying attention to me.
Okay.
You know, kind of thing, because that's what women say. That's what they say to the son. Hey, you're not looking at me in my eye. Look at me in my eye, just like you just said. No. So they're entirely different, okay? The boys, I'd look down, I'd be grading papers. I might be writing stuff on the board, and they would just talk. It was almost as if I had given, like I was a Pied Piper. So.
Right.
I wrote it in the book.
I like that. Now, where can these people get your books at?
Okay, so I have a website where I have two of the books, www.clynwithtwoNsWilliams.com, and then they're also on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble Books. They're in several formats, paperback as well as e-books.
Okay, like Kindle and stuff like that? Okay, all right, well, look, I want you to hang in there for one more minute. I'm going to run this PSA, and then when I come back, I got something else I want to ask you, but I'm enjoying this because I'm like, ooh, man, I might have to get that book. I'm not having no more kids right now, but I still may want to learn something. Who knows? What the heck, I might have a kid when I'm 80 because I'm going to be around until I'm about 800 anyway. Shoot, girl, I can handle it.
You're hilarious. You are hilarious.
I'm telling you, you'll see me with my cane. That's my little boy. How old is he, three?
Oh, Lord. You are so sweet.
Okay, well, let me get this PSA in, and I'll be right back, and we're going to talk a little bit more to you about parenting and raising kids and girls and boys and the whole darn thing. And I'm enjoying what you're saying, so let me do this PSA, and I'll be right back.
¿Qué es la recuperación para aquellos con desórdenes mentales y de uso de sustancias? Es una mano que ayuda, un nuevo comienzo. Únete a las voces de la recuperación. Alza tu voz, comparte el mensaje.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh! Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and I am the one and only Dr. Don S. McClure. I changed my title. No, I'm Don S. McClure, but I'm fine. And I want you to make sure you get checked, because I don't want you to have a stroke. We're talking to Cheryl L. Williams. She also goes by C. Lynn Williams, and she is a fantastic author, and she's telling us about raising children, boys, girls, the whole gamut. So, again, I want you to make sure you go out and get her books at her websites. And she is a great person, and I respect her a lot. So, who knows? And when I have my newborn baby, I'll bring it by your house, and you can kind of watch my kids.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, now, you're on your third book. You're really establishing yourself as a person who knows a lot about raising children, or just giving them some guidance. Does a lot of people come to you, or do people write you and say, hey, my kid's acting up, and anything like that, or what's going on with that?
Well, you know what I did was I started writing a blog because this was the interesting thing. I found that the more I taught, the better my writing was, and vice versa. The more writing I did, the better I taught, which was really kind of weird. But the blog gave me an opportunity to talk about not just parenting, it's pretty much related to that. But I also get a chance to kind of talk about some of the issues that are going on without having to write a full book about it. So, for example, the shooting in Connecticut. If you remember the storyline, the young man shot and killed his mother first. And I wanted to understand, of course nobody will ever know because he's gone, but why was that? Now, one of the things that came out of the story was that she bought the gun for him, or guns for him. And I understand that philosophy. I don't necessarily agree with it. My thought is women, when they want to have a relationship with their sons and they're not going the way that they expect, they will do just about anything to have a relationship. So maybe in order to have a relationship with her son, she bought guns for him. They shot guns together. I remember reading about that. And so, you know, sometimes we make these, you know, we do things that are, in hindsight, why did I do that? Like, you buy a car for your son. You know, good and well, he's not ready to have a car. He's not responsible. But he really wants that car, and you really want him to like you. And I think a lot of times, often, parents may make those kinds of decisions that we just don't have to do. The one thing that we really need to do is to be consistent and to be the guideline for our kids. So the blog helps me. I usually put something out once a week, maybe twice a week. It gives me an opportunity to kind of stay abreast of what's going on in our, you know, fine town, whatever is going on around the world. So I write about that. And then I have a monthly newsletter, and I get a chance to kind of assist other authors, you know, brand new authors, friends of mine who have books that are coming out like yourself. You know, I'll put that on my newsletter. So it's really a nice opportunity and way to share, but I'm really concerned with helping parents. The newest thing that I've been doing, I started a GoFundMe, and I'm trying to raise money so that I can offer teen mothers free parenting classes.
Okay.
And so I started it about maybe 2 weeks ago. Haven't raised any money yet, but you know, I'm hoping that people will hear about it and read about it and donate whatever they have so that, you know, because I, like you said, when you know better, you do better. And, you know, if you are 15 and you're trying to raise a child and go to school, it's tough. It's tough. And depending on what kind of home life you came from, maybe your parents, you know, they're done with you. Because how could you get pregnant at 15? We're not. You're getting out of the house. You have to find someplace else to live. So now you're homeless, raising a kid, trying to go to school, and you have no. You don't know anything. You're a kid, right? So I'd like to offer, you know, some kind of parenting and also maybe a bag of diapers and some Target gift cards and things like that to, you know, starting in the Midwest, maybe offer something like this once a month and then spread out, eventually doing it throughout the country.
Okay. Well, it sounds good. Sounds like a good thing. And there's a lot of corporations out there that will actually try to help you once you kind of write it all up and let me know what's going on. One of the things that's so important is, and that's what I keep telling people, just like you want to do this thing, and you have the opportunity to do it. I keep telling people when you have this 400, 500, 600, 700 friends on there, they've got to realize that you have a goal and you have a purpose. And it's nice to write, I like what you said, it's nice to listen to the blog, but if they would say, okay, if all 400 of us gave her $29, she'd have something to work with. The only thing about people being out here, they have to understand that you have a purpose. There's a lot of great people out here. Anita Washington wants to help, like, abuse women. I mean, there's people out there really want to do something, just like Gina was on my show. But we're not getting it across to people that it's nice to say, I like what Cheryl does, or I like what Don wants to write. But if you're not actively, you know, you're on my Facebook 4 months, 3 months, 2 months, 10 days, and you're still saying I like, and I don't see the checks coming in, it doesn't do me any good. And it's not that you just want them to buy your stuff, but that's what support means. Because if you got 500 friends, then you should have enough at least coming in to start your program with. But I like what you're saying. So give us those websites one more time, and then you and I are going to have to talk one day, you know, when we get a chance to sit down and have lunch, me, you, Gina, and a few other people, and we can come up with some ideas to help you get started, and Gina to do some great things.
Well, you know what, that sounds, matter of fact, I think I'll try to contact you in the next couple of weeks, because this is something, again, like the books, that, you know, I got to say, you know, has been placed on my heart, and we're in this position so that we can give back. I firmly believe that. You know, you don't get to where you are by yourself, and you need to reach back and help other people. Just like you said with the young man who was thinking, I'd like to make $100,000. How do I do that? So, yeah, we'll definitely talk. My own website is www.clynnwilliams.com. And that's C-L-Y-N-N, Williams.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at CGWWBook with no S. I'm also on Facebook, but you have to add the S on Facebook, CGWWBooks. And go to Amazon. I've got an author page. You can find Trying to Stay Sane While Raising Your Teen, The Pampered Prince, Moms Create a Great Relationship with Your Son, and Raising Your Daughter Through the Joys, Tears, and Hormones. All on Amazon, Google Books, Barnes & Noble.
Okay. Hey, now, can people Google your name and also find all this stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. They should Google C. period Lynn Williams, because that will take them to the different sites.
And that's C-period L-Y-N-N.
Yes, it is. One more thing I just thought of that I wanted to mention. I'm having a mother-daughter retreat at the Gary Comer Youth Center tomorrow, and it'll be my first time doing that, and I'm really looking forward to the synergy and great discussion that I expect us to have. It'll be mothers of all ages and their daughters, and get a chance to kind of break some of the, like you said, the questions that don't get asked. I don't know, how do I say that to my mother? You know, some of the things that may be going on. So we're going to have a nice dialogue tomorrow.
Well, that sounds good, and I'm real proud of you. You know, I mean, you've always shown me a lot of great courtesy and professionalism, and we support each other. And that's the only thing, like I said, I have a gripe about with all these groups and people out there. I'm like, look, they're doing something with a purpose, so you need to just maybe put it in your budget. Now I've got, you know, almost 10 books that they need to volunteer, and I would really like that, but I got a few of those. But all I'm saying to people is, you know, get behind the artists that are making these recordings, get behind the authors so that they can continue to, like you said, this is their God-given talent, and for people to give back so that they could give even more, because I'm sure you're going to do more for people. Listen, I've enjoyed you being on my show. We're going to have lunch one day soon and talk. I'm always trying to do something. So that's important to me.
Thank
and
so
I need
much.
To have you back on my show one day.
I will. And you know what? I'm going to pick up your newest book. I saw that as I was waiting to get on your call. So, and I've got a website for you. It's called Rave Review, Rave Reviews Book Club.
Okay.
So I want you to go to that. That'll be great for you as an author.
Okay, Rave Reviews. Okay.
Book Club. Mm-hmm.
Book Club. I got that written down. And, hey, Cheryl, it has been a joy. I learned something from you. Like I told you now, when I have my new kid, you know, you got to be at home to babysit and stuff like that.
Thank you so much, Don, for having me on. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate being on my show. Thanks a lot, and I'm going to contact you soon.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye. And that was Cheryl C. Lynn Williams on my show, and I learned a lot of good things from her. And I'm telling you, we've got to start giving women a lot more respect, especially if they're single raising kids. I mean, they're doing a heck of a job. I can't say the A-T-L-L because they'll get me, but they're doing a heck of a job out there, and we need to support them and see if they got ideas and dreams. We can help them make it, because the more they make it,
the more we make it. We've extended my show for another 30 minutes, so you're going to be bothered with me until 9 o'clock. How about that? But you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and I am the one and only Don S. McClure. And if you want to email me at McClureDonS@yahoo.com or on my business email at DonS.McClure@DSMPublications.net. And I'm going to get into a track because I got 30 more minutes, and I think I'm going to try to find something by those good guys that I kind of like. I just ran into them, too. They got some nice stuff out there. I got one by the Chestnut Brothers called We Got Love. And you know how I feel about love, because I love everybody in the world. I just love, 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 love. It's a great thing. But I'm going to play this by the Chestnut Brothers, then we're going to get back to some more tracks.
Like a sister or brother, and taking care of me like my own mother. And like my family doctor, you sustain my health. Oh, and I don't need fortune or fame. Falling down, lifted me to higher ground. There's no one sweeter to be found. So baby, please stay around, cause we've got love.
So
same woman. Hey, hey. Kick your shoes off, sit down and relax, 'cause I wanna confess my feelings to you this evening. We may not have too many material things, and heaven knows I can't buy you that big house up on a hill, a fat new ride, fancy clothes and a diamond ring. But one thing I can promise you, I can give you a heart that's true, and I can guarantee fidelity and
Chestnut Brothers. I kind of like them. Hey, man, I'm having a great time tonight playing great music. I had Gina on my show, who's wrote two fantastic books, Dean the Music Machine and Don't Be So Mean, Jean. I like both of those. I still think her sister's the Jean, but I'm going to talk to them about that. Then I had the great Cheryl L. Williams, who is C. Lynn Williams. And, I mean, I learned a lot from her, too. So, we've got a great group of people on my show tonight, and yeah, my soundboard is messing up. I'm going in and out, and my producer, I need to. I'm going to play Earl Cantrell, Blue Cantrell at that. But anyway, we're going to speed it up a little bit. We got 21 more minutes into the show, and I'm telling you, this has been a fantastic show. I learned a lot. And I ate some popcorn while I was playing my music. And yes, I wasn't supposed to. Ah, but what the heck. I did it anyway. And I don't want no socks.
Shut up, Wild and Blue can't. We mix the comment of head well, yo. Yo, hey, yo, boom. Yo, hey, yo. Nothing. So what's that supposed to be about, baby? Get free up your vibe and stop acting crazy. Reminisce on all the good times daily. Why you tryna pose like I be acting shady? What's that supposed to be about, baby? Get free up your vibe and stop acting crazy. Shine the ball, I give it a good loving daily. Now you tryna pose like I be acting shady.
You say you love me, say you love me, but you never there for me. Wake up and see.
So what's that supposed to be about, baby? Get free of your mind and stop acting crazy. I make it very clear to you, you're very dear to me. An honor of my share to you, me not unfair to you. Woman, I want to really make you know that I will always draw near to you. But me know me not no fear to you, me stand up like a man and I'll be there because I care for you. Long time you're telling me not a girl I compare to you. Woman, if you leave me now, I'm gonna shed a lot of tears for you. You want to breathe and still you're not exhaling. Say you want to leave cause this relationship failing. Ain't nobody said that this would be smooth sailing. Girl, I want to know why you're bailing. So what's that supposed to be about, baby? Get free of your vibe and stop acting crazy. Reminisce on all the good times daily. Why you tryna pose like I be acting shady?
Did you know they sell my books at the jerk chicken places? I mean, man, it's like these are my brothers, man. These are my brothers. Now, anyway, yeah, they actually do. So that's a good thing. Listen, you're on the Don S. McClure Show tonight, and I am the one and only on Friday, and I've extended my show for 2 hours. We got 17 more minutes, and I've got to play Kobe Calais. And I learned how to say her name. Actually, she's got a long name, too. Her name is Kobe Marie Calais. So you know they always change the names and stuff like that. But yeah, Kobe Marie Calais. She's born May 28, 1985. She is an American pop singer, songwriter, and acoustic guitarist from Malibu, California. She came on the scene in 2007 with Coco, which included hit singles Bubbly and Realize. And in 2008, she recorded a duet with Jason Mraz, Lucky, which won a Grammy. Calais released her second album, Breakthrough, in August 2009. Breakthrough was nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album. 2010 Grammy Awards. She was also part of the group that won Album of the Year at the 2010 Grammys. This girl is bad. Vocals and written on Taylor Swift's Fearless album. Calais has sold, check this out, over 6 million albums worldwide. She sold 10 million singles, and in 2009, she was named Billboard Magazine's 94th best-selling music artist of 2000 to 2009. And in 2011, she released her third studio album, All of You. And on October 23rd, 2012, she even released a Christmas album called Christmas in the Sand. I mean, this girl is so bad, it's just darn ridiculous. So let's just play her song called Never Gonna Let You Down. And she's saying she's never gonna let her guy down. So some of you women out there, listen to this song now. She's gonna be behind him, whether he got a job, don't got a job, whatever he's doing. But anyway, they both support each other.
Hello, when you're feeling low and you just don't know where to run to. Bro, if your heart's been broken, you feel like you're all alone. If you need something to believe in, if you're looking for a light to guide you home, just look inside, your light is shining brighter than you know. You should know, I'm never gonna let you down. I'm always gonna build you up. Feeling lost, I will always find you love. I'm never gonna walk away, I'm always gonna have your back. And if nothing else, you can always count on that. When you need me, I promise I will never let you down. Ooh.
Marvin and Kevin Edmonds and Keith Mitchell. The Edmond brothers are the siblings of popular pop and R&B artists. Well, we all know who that is. Babyface. Till You Do Me Right is a song by After Seven issued as the lead single from the group's third album, Reflections. The song was their final hit on the Billboard Hot 100. Peaking at number 31 in 1995. And then we're going to play another track by them. But right now we're going to play Till You Do Me Right, Baby. Hey, if you don't, you did me wrong and you treated me bad, and if you don't do me right, don't call me, don't come around. But I don't know how he's going to see her if he tells her, don't call him. I don't know. Crazy. Let's listen to After 7. We got 9 more minutes into the show. Till You Do Me Right. Actually, I used to like this track. I still do like it.
You took the love from me, and used it selfishly. easily. You did not give back your love to me at all.
I gave the sun to you. You said it was too bright.
Wakefield. Catch me if you can, and catch me next Friday. We're doing an all Latin show. No, actually, I think we're doing the Dales next week. Anyway, let me start. My producer said, would you just play the song? I'm out of here. Have a good weekend. Enjoy life. That's all you have. And I am going to be gone. We're going to play Liv Warfield. Catch me if you can. And if you can catch me after I drank some tea, I'll be all right. But anyway, oh, man, that song just threw me all the way off. I don't really want to.
Fantasy.